Our sermon this morning, the gospel lesson this morning, is a continuation of last week's gospel reading. It's a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, a portion of that first sermon of Jesus from the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Listen carefully to these words. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, you probably recognize that last line there of Jesus, because every time someone is baptized here at the baptismal font, we give them a baptismal candle, a lit baptismal candle, and we say, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus visits us this morning. We do believe in God's real presence. We believe that God is present here this morning in the bread and in the wine. God is present as we lift our hymns of praise and prayers heavenward. God is present. Jesus visits us this morning. And Jesus has a word for us, a word of hope, a word of challenge, a word of comfort, a word spoken 2,000 years ago to people who were broken and afraid, lost and hungry, desperate and hurting. I think that pretty accurately describes us, does it not? Jesus visits us this morning. Jesus says a word for the people of God in Freedom, Washington on this Super Bowl Sunday. Jesus begins with a declaration. Jesus declares that we are people of light and people of salt. It's important to note, this is a declaration. It is not a suggestion. He does not invite us to be salt and light. No, he names us as such. You are light. You are salt. It is a part of your DNA. It is a part of your identity. You are salt and light. Now, it would be difficult to imagine two more important elements in God's creation. Without salt and light, there would be no life. You are the salt of the world. Salt has been a major player in the course of human history. The oldest salt mine in the world is found in modern-day Azerbaijan, and it dates from the year 4500 B.C. That is 3,000 years before Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And the first recorded tax in human history, you guessed it, the very first tax imposed by a government was in the year 2200 B.C. in China. The tax was a salt tax. And what word that we use all the time comes from the word salt? Salary. Roman soldiers were often paid their salary in salt. Salt was a currency. Gold was traded for salt. It sounds crazy to us, but it's true. And the salt traders became very rich. What made Venice rich? Not artwork, not tourism. No, it was salt. And 240 years ago, the British attacked George Washington's troops in the Revolutionary War in an effort to steal their salt. A battle in the Civil War was fought not to capture land or soldiers, but to capture salt. And salt is not just important to humans. All the vertebrates of planet Earth share this in common. Their blood contains 0.9% salt. salt, and light. Without light, there would be no life. No warmth, no seasons. Light in the days before electricity. Light in the lives of the ancients was a very valuable commodity. It was not to be wasted. Oil lamps were used to provide illumination. Ancient people would use one precious commodity, oil, in order to provide another precious commodity, light. But only a fool, Jesus said, only a fool would light a lamp and then hide that lamp under a bushel basket. To do so would be to waste the oil and the light. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That's a compliment, you know. Now, I'm not sure that saying is used much anymore, but where I come from, among farmers and simple Norwegians, it was used and it was understood. If someone was described as the salt of the earth, it meant that they were a good person, a caring person, a person without pretense, not necessarily a saint, not necessarily a giant of intellect or fortune, but a good and honest person, a kind of person that every community needed. The salt of the earth, a person who could be counted on. Jesus visits us this morning and he declares, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is giving us a shout out. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are critical to the life and health of your family, of our community, of your workplace, your neighborhood, and this church. These are difficult times. Can we agree on that? These are difficult times. So how is it that we are to be salt and light in difficult times? The days in which we are living are unprecedented for most of us. Not unprecedented in history, but unprecedented in our history. These are difficult times, sleepless nights, an uncertain future. How can we be salt and light in these trying times and in the trying days that are ahead of us? Difficult times. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Now, perhaps you'd rather not talk about it right here, right now. You want this to be a sanctuary, after all, a safe place to pray, to sing, to get away from the trials of the world out there. But you know what? Jesus came to visit us this morning. And he reminds us that we are salt and light in these difficult days. So who among us, in our wildest dreams, ever thought that we would see days like this? We did not really think this was possible. We never thought this could happen. How are we to be salt and light today when everything is upside down, not as planned, and not as we hoped for? So let me ask you something. Have you looked in the mirror lately? How did it happen? How did we get so old? I recently talked to a woman in her 80s, and she told me that she really doesn't think of herself as old. She said, that little girl is still inside of me. I'm still that person. I don't feel old yet. However, the mirror doesn't lie, does it? And the aches and pains tell a different story than what we think in our own mind. It's clear that the march of time that can be so long ignored, yeah, it includes each of us, doesn't it? Difficult times. We had 4 deaths in the congregation in the past few weeks. Husbands and wives must now carry on alone. Children and grandchildren miss mom or grandma. Life will never be the same. How am I to be salt and light in difficult times? I never expected this. Difficult times. Would you agree with me that these are difficult times? I hear it all the time. Someone will say to me, Pastor, every day I have to get up and go to work, and it's not the work I dreamed of as a child. Every day I have to get up to go to work, and I hate my job, and no one appreciates me there, and I'm not making enough money to get ahead, only enough to survive, only enough to keep me in slavery to the work that greets me every morning when I wake up. The reality is most of the world goes to work every day at a job they don't like. How can I be salt and light in difficult times? I never expected to be divorced. What did I do wrong that my child or my grandchild is now in rehab for the third time? How am I to be salt and light? Death is close for me. Next month, maybe, next year, maybe, but it's clear that I'm not going to beat this. It's clear that even though I have spent most of my life believing that I would never die, soon I will be doing just that. How can I be salt and light in difficult times? And then there is this strange political reality in our country right now. Political upheaval. How am I to be salt and light in the midst of a country that's divided, derisive, a country that is unrecognizable and at the same time very recognizable? Difficult times. It's always been a challenge to follow Jesus when the going gets tough. How are we to be salt and light? Jesus visits us this morning. Jesus visits us in the midst of trying times. And Jesus says, it's time to practice your faith. It's time to practice what you preach. Right now, in these difficult times, we must practice the faith that we profess. It really does not matter what is currently keeping you up at night. It really does not matter what is currently troubling you. The answer is the same in every circumstance. We need to follow Jesus. We need to practice our faith. Now, the commandments are always a good place to start. 10 gifts from God, 10 laws to order our lives and society, 10 truths that have endured thousands of years and serve as the cornerstone for law in our country and in most of the world. I'd like you to review the 10 commandments, and to help you with that, out on the table in the narthex, they're printed for you. Take one with you. Review the 10 commandments. Number one, keep God at the center of your life. Then put yourself in the path of the gospel. Then keep those sacred promises that you've made to others and treat those you live with and those who live next door to you with dignity and respect. How are we to be salt and light in difficult times? Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The love of neighbor. We cannot follow Jesus without loving our neighbor. But who? Who is my neighbor? Refugees and foreigners? Certainly. The people of India? Yes, they are our neighbors. But wait a minute, Jesus. Why India? We never even met these folks, and we're never going to meet these folks, and they're not even Christians. And Jesus says, good point, I'll give you that, but guess what? I created them. And I guess that makes them my children. And I died on the cross for them, and now they need your help. So let your good works bring glory to God in heaven. I got to tell you something, folks. Loving your neighbor, in reality, it's a lot easier to love the people of India than the person who sleeps next to you. Let's be honest. It's a lot easier to love neighbors that you're never going to meet than the ones who live in the bedroom just down the hall from you, or that neighbor who plays loud music all the time, or that neighbor whose trees are blocking the view from your deck. It's a lot easier to love those that you're never going to meet than it is to love the neighbor who is an outspoken, closed-minded liberal or an outspoken, closed-minded conservative. Paul said, without love, we sound like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Let me translate that for you. Obnoxious. How will we be salt and light in difficult times? My friends, and I consider you all to be my friend, no matter who you voted for. My friends, this is when we must practice what we preach. We must practice what Jesus preached. If we are going to follow him, then we are to follow him in good times and in bad. Jesus said that we are to pray for our enemies. Try that one this week. And it is not okay to pray that a tree falls on them. Pray for your enemies. That means you wish them well. You pray for their health. You pray for their peace and their security. And you pray that God will bless them in every way, including wisdom. Jesus said we are to love those who hate us. Try that one this week. How will we be salt and light in trying political times? We are to respond to the lack of civility with extreme loving civility. If people go low on Facebook, we go high. We are to spend more time listening than talking. Now remember, God created you, and God created you a certain way. He gave you one mouth. He gave you two ears. Clue? Is there a clue there? There's a practical reason for that creative anatomy. Spend more time listening. This is a time for us to practice our faith. We are to be salt and light in the face of disease, in the face of dementia, in the face of divorce, in the face of rehab, in times of personal and political upheaval. This is a test. Now, I'm not suggesting that we are to be passive or quiet or apolitical. On the contrary, I would encourage you to vote and to write and to protest and to march and to advocate for the poor, but do it in a way that is consistent with your faith. That means it's always nonviolent and it's always respectful. Let your light shine before others. That means build those habitat houses, cut that firewood, quilt those quilts, teach Sunday school, be salt and light in a world that needs salt and light, but do it in a way that is consistent with your faith. Practice your faith. Because if you don't practice your faith, then you are just another in a long line of Christian hypocrites. Vote. Write. Protest, march, work for justice and peace, but at the same time, be humble, be loving, be patient, be respectful of people and their property, and listen. Listen to the views of others. Now, I know it's really hard to imagine. I know it's really hard to imagine, but maybe, just maybe, you are not the font of all wisdom. Maybe, just maybe, smart, caring Christian people, people who love Jesus, are going to be on the opposite side of the political spectrum as you are. Can you love them anyway? Can you respect them anyway? Can you pray for them as Jesus instructs us to do? How are we to be salt and light in difficult days? It's been said that tough times don't last, but tough people do. I'm not sure I believe the second part of that equation. It's a little too simplistic for me. But I certainly believe the first part of that equation. Tough times are not going to last forever. There are seasons of grief for all of us, but they give way to seasons of joy. There are seasons of weeping for all of us, but we will make it through it, and the weeping will give way to dancing. How can we be salt and light in these trying days of our lives? Well, let's go back to where we began. Listen to these words, God's words from Micah. God has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We all face difficult times. Practice your faith. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly, humbly, humbly with your God. For when our time on earth is over, when it's all been said and done, there's only one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Carl is going to sing for us.